From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in Psalm 119. The subject of the psalm is the Word of God. In this series, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 9 through 16 as he expounds the theme of living clean in an unclean world. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional thought for today is called A Man Without Fear. The text is found in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. Of course, if the Lord sent Moses on an errand, he would not let him go alone. The tremendous risk which it would involve, and the great power it would require, would render it ridiculous for God to send a poor, lone Hebrew to confront the mightiest king in all the world, and then leave him to himself. It could not be imagined that a wise God would match poor Moses with Pharaoh and the enormous forces of Egypt. Hence he says, Certainly I will be with thee, as if it were out of the question that he would send him alone. In my case also, the same rule will hold good. If I go upon the Lord's errand with a simple reliance upon his power and a single eye to his glory, it is certain that he will be with me. His sending me binds him to back me up. Is not this enough? What more can I want? If all the angels and archangels were with me, I might fail. But if he is with me, I must succeed. Only let me take care that I act worthily toward this promise. Let me not go timidly, half-heartedly, carelessly, presumptuously. What manner of person ought he to be who has God with him? In such company, it behooveth me to play the man, and like Moses, go in unto Pharaoh without fear.
Have no end. When you rise with the Lord.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the seventh in a series of messages on the theme, Living Clean in an Unclean World. The text for the series is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The emphasis here is on the believer's thought life. In commencing the message, Dr. Karen spoke of the action of godly thinking. The psalmist said, "I will meditate." Meditation on God's Word is almost a lost art among Christians in our day. Yet it is of the utmost importance if we would truly walk with God. On today's program, Dr. Cairns discusses the direction of godly thinking. The focus of the psalmist's meditation was God's precepts, or God's law. It is as we meditate upon God's law and obey it that we make progress in sanctification. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The Hebrew verb that's translated meditate here can mean to think. If you look at verse 27 of Psalm 119, you'll see that it can also mean to talk. "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works." So the same word can mean to think and to talk. And I don't think I would be missing the force of the verb in this particular text if I were to combine them both here. I will think and talk. And the talking will be first and foremost to myself. What is the psalmist describing here? I'm going to talk to myself. I know that's usually taken to be the sign of somebody who is going or has gone mad. Don't you believe it? I know there's a certain kind of talking to yourself that does betoken a certain mental aberration. But there's nobody here that doesn't talk to himself. You know you have wonderful conversations with yourself. You have arguments with everybody under the sun with yourself. You know what they're going to say and what you're going to say, and you've it all worked out. Never happens as you work it out, but it forms your thinking and your feeling anyway. We have all of those conversations. We know what it is to talk to ourselves. I'm paraphrasing the late Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it is a paraphrase, but the meaning is still good. That is the trouble with Christians is that they listen to themselves far too much and talk to themselves far too little. You listen to yourself when you talk rubbish, but you don't talk to yourself sense half enough. I will talk to myself. The word meditate that the English version puts in is a wonderful translation. They've got it exactly right. The idea is reflection. One of the great commentators in the book of Psalms was a Church of England bishop, Bishop Horn. And speaking of meditation here, he said, "Meditation is like rumination." So just picture the cow in the field. It has eaten the grass. And then it sits down or lies down. And it starts to ruminate. It starts to chew over, to extract all the nutriments. That's the picture of rumination or reflection here. The psalmist is saying, I'm not just going to read, but I'm going to reflect. I'm going to talk to myself about what I am reading. I'm going to chew over these things so as to extract from them all the benefit, all the spiritual strength that I can gain. Now, frequently in the Psalms when this word is used, it's used of ruminating and reflecting upon the Lord's saving work. You would have to say that generally, the great object of the believer's reflection is the saving work of Jehovah. Now, if you'd stop there and think, this is the action of godly thinking. I'm going to talk to myself about the saving work of God in Jesus Christ. I'm going to come and I'm going to study. I'm going to think. I'm going to reflect. I'm going to ruminate. I'm going to chew over these great words, words that I have allowed to float past me. You get a word like propitiation. It floats past most Christians. A word like reconciliation. Again, it just floats away there. And we have some general idea, we think, of what it means. But getting down to follow it through in what the Holy Ghost reveals, see it pictured, see it explained, see it defined, see it applied through the various parts of the Word of God. Chew over it. Talk to myself about it. Until I'm gaining something from it. God's saving work. This is where I would recommend a study of the more ancient of the great hymns of the church. Not much in modern hymnology is worth remembering. Man-centered, touchy-feely, carnal gobbledygook for the most part. When you get to some of the great hymns that are so filled with deep doctrine, you get the hymns of William Williams, great Welsh hymn writer, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," is one of his great hymns. You get the hymns of an Isaac Watts, or a John Newton, or a William Cooper. Or you get the hymns of Charles Wesley. I'm not saying they're inspired. I'm not saying you'll not find a word that you can find fault with. What I'm saying is, these were written out of a deep meditation upon the Word of God. And as you think through these scriptures of truth concerning the saving work of God in Christ, you'll find that they will use poetry very often to open up thoughts to the soul that you otherwise wouldn't have. Talk to yourself about the saving work of the Lord. Then stand with John Newton, amazed at the grace of God. When you think of the great saving work that Christ has done, and then you look at this worm, Jacob, as the Bible calls us, you'll stand with Newton and say, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." But in the 119th Psalm, and certainly in our text, this word is used especially of the sanctifying word. Not just generally the saving work of the Redeemer, but the sanctifying word. And that leads me now to the second great truth in our text. The action of godly thinking is, I will meditate. The direction of godly thinking, I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, generally, this speaks of the law of God, the Word of God. But the precepts are peculiarly commands. That's the meaning of the word. Or directions. And the psalmist is saying, "Lord, I will talk to myself. I will chew over. I will reflect upon. I will seek to gain everything I can from the directions that God has given me in His Word." Now, I'm very tempted to go off on a tangent here, so I'd better be careful how far I go. I speak to you as somebody who is entirely convinced of and committed to what is called the Reformed faith. I believe that it is the most complete reflection of the system of doctrine taught in Scripture. I don't judge the Scripture by Reformed theology. I judge Reformed theology by the Scripture. but I believe it is the most complete representation of the teaching of God's Word. When I read in John Calvin, I am constantly reminded of the place that he gave to God's law in the life of the Christian. How the Christian would regard the law, how he would think about the law, how he would love the law, and how he would obey God's law. Now, Calvin did not believe you got saved by obeying the law. He made that very clear. He did not believe that you were saved by anything except the grace of God on the ground of the obedience and law-keeping unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Christ and Christ alone, and the imputed righteousness of Christ is the only righteousness that gives us a right standing with God. He was absolutely clear in that. But yet he believed, as did all the reformers, and as did all the Puritans, and as did the great giants of the Reformed faith, that the fruit of faith is godliness. And the standard of godliness is obedience to the law of God. I am shocked. I'm concerned. When I look at the Reformed Church now, and in so many places, they imagine that Christian liberty is kicking over the law of God and living without regard to it. And if you've regard to it somehow, you've become a legalist. Absolute nonsense. There are two great extremes here that one must avoid. You have the extreme that's adopted by Reconstructionism, where, in the words of one of their official journals, justification is by faith, sanctification is by law. That is nonsense. Sanctification is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The other great extreme is that we have no commitment to, no responsibility to, and in many cases no interest in the law of God. That is antinomian heresy. The truth lies here. Sanctification is by grace through faith, but the sanctification that grace produces will be obedient to God's law. You cannot regard God and disregard his law. The psalmist knew that, and so he said, I will meditate. This is the direction of my thinking. I'm turning my thoughts to the directions of God's Word, to the commandments of God's Word. I'm turning my thoughts. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to talk to myself about it. I'm going to reflect on this. I'm going to ruminate upon this. I'm going to chew over the commandments of God. That's what the psalmist is saying. You see, godly thinking must focus, and it does focus, on God's law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.